WildTalkRadio.com.
I only have one thing to say. It's great to be back on Monday Night Raw!
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
This is my yard now.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
If I were to apply to you now on this concrete a perfectly executed inside cradle, commonly known as a small package, how long do you think it would take you to escape?
You would never escape a perfectly executed small package. 99% of the time, a small package, when applied expertly by an expert wrestler like myself, always works.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
Don't fully appreciate WWE Raw until you're laid up in the hospital and you realize it's there for you every Monday. Quote Mick Foley. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Raw Post Show, live across the airwaves and Wild Talk Radio Network. Presented as always by Gerwick.net and Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow during the day at Instagram.com/MBG1211. I am Sir Rockin', joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
I'm here. I'm okay. I'm dry. I have power. Now, if the wind would stop blowing, that would be fantastic.
I mean, for a second there, I thought, wait, did the storm finally take her? And the answer is no. To give everyone an update, because there are people concerned about them, both Omega and Subway do not have power, but they are alive. No damage. Everything is good.
Yes. As far as we know, Rob's okay, too.
As far as Rob is okay. I have not gotten messages from either one, but that's a good thing. I know things were picking up in their backyard earlier, but everything is good.
Yeah, Rob's over on the east side of town, so it was a little bit worse over there than what it was where I live. Like, it hasn't been really that bad at all up here, but
So far,
but I'm a little, well, I mean, the worst is kind of past at this point. So unless the stuff that's over that was like spawning tornadoes earlier today comes over this way, which I sincerely hope it doesn't, because, you know, that can stay where it is and just dissipate.
Yeah, but that's the health updates on the whereabouts of people on the network. So, that's why we had no show last night, because Omega was in the hurricane, so there's your updates. Now let's get into the action. Monday Night Raw with Roman Reigns versus Jason Jordan. So, it took John Cena, 10 minutes last week to beat a rookie?
Something like that, yeah.
Roman claimed, 20? Whatever it was?
Mm-hmm.
So, apparently Roman had some hard times with this rookie, Jason Jordan, as well. It took him 15 minutes and 15 seconds to beat him.
Can we stop calling Jason Jordan a rookie? Because he's not a rookie.
You know, they brought up how he's been a SmackDown Tag Team Champion and an NXT Tag Team Champion for a rookie.
He's been on the main roster a year. I mean, if you're going to go that route, you need to be calling Braun Strowman a rookie, too.
Yeah, that, you know, well, Braun's been up, what, 2 years now?
But still.
A new recruit, especially in the Army of or Police, a member of an athletic team in his or her first full season in that sport. Jason Jordan has been doing this a very long time. just point that out. Yeah. Anyway, Roman won. Good match.
It was a good match. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed parts of what happened next, but I didn't enjoy parts that happened next.
But it was 11 minutes and 40 seconds last week, officially. So John Cena comes to the ring. Cena told Reigns that he was holding a microphone and not a nightstick for Roman's tactical pants. Shot number one. Cena said he recalled Roman mocking him for taking so long to be a rookie last week. Cena told Roman to keep it simple and mention, it's my yard. Believe that. Roman said he was busy having a great match. He said he has had more great matches than Cena has had in his entire career. That is what we call a fake news. That's fake news. Infactual statement.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of remember this U.S. Open challenge where Cena was having great matches with people every single week. Correct me if I'm wrong. John Cena and AJ Styles could be match of the year if it wasn't for two Brits.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just throwing that out there.
John Cena and Kevin Owens.
From a couple of years ago, they had like three great matches. Cena and AJ from last year had a couple good matches.
And then you go further back in Cena's career, and the list goes on and on and on and on of all the good, great matches that Cena's had over his career. All the great feuds, all the great stories.
But, you know, Roman's had great matches every week, lately.
And that may be true. Roman's been doing very well the last couple weeks, but John Cena has 15 years versus 3 months?
Yeah.
Cena. I mean, it's kind of like, okay.
We'll continue to break this
good
down.
Good for you. Yeah. You get a gold star.
Gold star of David. Cena recalled Roman claiming that he could spin everything. Cena said, oh, forgot some stuff. Back up a minute. Cena said he used to come out and lace up, but all he has to do is let Roman talk. Cena said Roman has the skill and ability that anyone would dream of having, but he has his head shoved so far up his ass that he is like the one-man human centipede. There's joking, Cena. But that's okay. We'll get back to regular Cena. Cena says Reigns actually thinks he's responsible for everything because no one has cut him down to size. That's why I'm here, said Cena. Cena recalled claiming that he could spin everything. Cena said he challenged himself to try anything. Cena told Reigns that he made it, and once you feel that way, it is the beginning of the end. Cena got in Roman's face and told him that he would learn what real failure is all about. He said he gives Roman chances after chance, and he fails. Cena said, the guy steps up, stays sharp, and does his homework. Cena says, if Roman Reigns is really the guy, he will dust himself off and show himself at no mercy. Looking at you now, you ain't got it in you, and no mercy is going to be a cakewalk. Reigns told Cena too. Cena was leaving. Reigns said, bring your bitch ass back here. Great insult, Roman. Reigns says he's been selling tickets, which Cena hasn't done in years.
Lies.
Wrong. That's complete wrong. Reigns says, ticket sales are great, and it bothers Cena that WWE doesn't need him. The fact is, you need WWE because you can't break into Hollywood.
Lies.
Roman said if Cena needs help, he knows a guy.
Yeah, Cena knows a guy, too. He fought him twice.
And he's probably gotten career advice from him. Cena says sometimes you have to fight fire with fire. Cena told Roman to consider him like a drug test. You ain't getting past me.
Mic drop.
Bam. Roman had weak material. It was all really weak because you can pick a hole through every single part. House shows up with Cena. Ratings up. Cena. Cena still sells the merch, most merch.
Actually, I don't know if that's true. I think Roman's officially on top of merch.
No.
No?
No. It's Cena than everyone else. Just, yeah, anyway.
I mean, I get you're trying to do the dick measuring contest. Like, that's what you're trying to do. It's my horse is bigger than yours. You know, I've done this and I've done this and you've done this and you've done this. You know, I get that's what they're trying to do, but you're weighing Roman's resume up against Cena's. And when you look at Cena's resume, there's nobody on that roster right now that can line up to Cena's resume, except maybe Randy Orton. Like, nobody else on that roster has done what John Cena has done. That's just the cold, hard fact. It's not to take a shot at Roman or anybody else. Well, maybe AJ and possibly Kevin, but I don't know. But it's like you just look at all the crap John Cena's done, all the names John Cena's faced, all the titles, all the accolades, you know, everything he's done, everything from day one to now. And you hold that up against what Roman Reigns has done from day one to now. And it's night and day. It doesn't even compare because Roman is still early in his career. Roman will get there. Roman will get to Cena's level at some point. Let's not forget, it took 15, 16 years for John Cena to get where he is. It will probably take Roman Reigns every bit of that time to get there. Just because a career isn't built in 5 minutes, it's built over years. It's really built over a lifetime. And that's what Cena's done. And so you're basically comparing apples to oranges here between Roman and Cena, where it's like, you know, okay, yeah, I get it. You're riding Roman. Roman, where he's trying to be this cocky badass, you know, it's like, oh, well, I'm better than you kind of thing. And it's like, that works great. Anybody else on that roster except John Cena. It's like, you could put Roman Reigns against Braun Strowman. Or, you know what? Fuck it. You could put Roman Reigns up against Jason Jordan. And Roman stacks his accomplishments up against Jason Jordan. And yeah, it completely works. What he did tonight completely works. You stack him up against Braun Strowman, same thing. You stack him up against John Cena, and he looks weak. And that's not what you want. You don't want Roman to look weak. Please stop doing the my horse is taller than your horse comparison, I'm better than you writing.
Because right now, Roman Reigns is walking around with a small nightstick in his tactical pants. Anyway, yeah.
No, what you need to do is, like, if you want to go real and it's like, okay, you want to bring up the suspension, you have Roman Reigns look at John Cena in the face and he goes, you know what? You've got a hurt neck, you've got a hurt shoulder, and you've got a hurt elbow, and that's only the start. You're not healthy. And you go from there, where it's, you attack the illusion that is Cena. It's like, you're a lie, and here's why.
We'll see what happens next week when Roman's alone, because Cena won't be there. Because he's overseas with SmackDown crew.
I'm sure they'll do some kind of pre-tape or something.
Yeah, there'll be something there. Yeah. Anyway, let's get through some matches that happened on Monday Night Raw. Sasha Banks took on Emma. Solid match. Sasha got the win with a submission. But the bigger story was, Alexa was doing commentary. Then Nia came out and they had a stare down. And then later was the real stare down. First, before we get to that part, if they're feuding, they should not be sitting next to each other.
But are they really feuding?
Nia destroyed Alexa after she won the belt. I think that's kind of feuding.
No, because they're more frenemies. That's what they are. They're really more kind of frenemies.
I guess.
Because now, what that was Nia reminding Alexa, hey, you still owe me, and I'm going to take what's mine.
Right, and backstage they went, Alexa was talking to Nia about how, you know, Sasha and Emma are stealing their spotlight. It should be me and you, and Bliss said Angle doesn't appreciate that they are best friends, and Jax is like, no, we're not best friends. But Bliss says, well, we are. Here we are.
We follow you on social media. We know you are. Don't lie.
Alexis said, we can go back to being friends. And Nia said, maybe. But you may not want to after she finds out what you did. And Alexis like, what did you do? And next week it's Nia Jax versus Alexa Bliss for the Raw Women's title. I think it's the front title, or they're just facing each other. They might just be fighting.
I think it's just they're fighting each other next week, which allows Nia to get a win over Alexa going into No Mercy.
Yeah, so.
Like, that's basically what that is, because they're not going to put the title on the line the Monday before the pay-per-view.
That hasn't stopped them before.
I understand this, but they're not going to do it.
Elias beat Kalisto.
It was there. Kalisto, honey, please take care of yourself. Stop doing stupid stuff.
Let's see. What else happened on Raw? In the main event, yes, this was the main event. Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, Matt Hardy, and Jeff Hardy took on Sheamus, Cesaro, Luke Gallows, and Karl Anderson. The setup for this was, it was supposed to be Cesaro and Sheamus versus Gallows and Anderson. Did not happen. As Cesaro and Sheamus were walking to the ring, Rollins and Ambrose were on commentary, and they were, you know, had a booklet, and they were trying to rate them. And Cesaro and Sheamus came over, they all fought, Gallows and Anderson got involved, so we set up an 8-man tag for later on. That was the main event. Team Hardy's got the win. Team Extreme Shield won. Should mention, in the backstage segment for the Hardys being chosen, we saw Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins run into Jimmy Noble and Dean Malenko.
Hey!
And Dean Ambrose was like, it's the man of 1,000 holds! He was so happy to see Dean Malenko.
As he should. Why was this the main event?
I don't know.
Like, why? Okay, so you open with Roman and Jordan. Okay, that's fine. I have no problem with that. They got about 30 minutes total for the entire segment, you know, including the whole scene a bit. It was a nice, the first 30 minutes of Raw. You go to the 10 o'clock spot.
Which we're getting to.
which we're getting to.
Which was Cena and Braun. We'll get to that in a minute. That should have been the main event, and we'll explain.
That should have been the main event.
But we'll explain why all about it here in a minute. First,
but
go ahead.
I'm not done. Let me make my point.
Go make your point.
And then they put this in the main event. It's like, for what happened in Cena and Braun, that should have closed the show. That should have 100% closed the show, but instead they had this close the show. Which, I mean, it was a good match. It wasn't really anything to write home about. I felt like the setup was better because Sheamus fought so hard his kilt fell off. That was like the best part of the whole thing.
It did.
It's like all of a sudden, nope, there goes the kilt. Just on the ground. And we got the whole Sheamus booty in her face.
You good now?
I'm good.
So Bray Wyatt took on Goldust. Bray Wyatt talked about he's been watching Goldust for a long time, and he used to think he was different, but he's a man so ridden with scars of his own fears and insecurities, that's why he's afraid to show his own face. Bray Wyatt called him a mortal man, told him to run. Basically compared him to Finn Balor using the makeup. Bray beat Goldust. It was fine. It was basically to get Bray over. After the match, Bray had a wet rag and wiped the paint off the face. The fans booed. He screamed, just like Finn Balor, he's just a man. Finn Balor came out to make the save. I like that he wiped the paint off his face.
Somebody get that man some Neutrogena makeup like wipes, or just any kind of makeup wipes. Like, you can go to the dollar store and get a whole entire pack for a dollar. That would work a lot better than a damp rag. Just saying. Like, did Bray not consult with the makeup ladies before, you know, he went and took the makeup off? Because you could probably gotten way more off if you used an actual makeup, like, remover. But yeah, the segment itself was really good. I really liked it. The promo was very straightforward. I think Bray has finally stopped talking in riddles, because I think he realized that, like, nobody knows what the hell he's talking about half the time, so it's like, he just was very direct, he was to the point, he stood there with this really uncomfortable, like, cold, evil glint in his eye, and you're just like, how does he do that? You know, how does he just get that, just, like, his face is completely expressionless, except for his eyes, where they're just cold and evil and cruel-looking. Like, how do you even do that? And do it consistently? He's like a boss at it. It's amazing, I love it. But I liked the match, and another time, I would love a feud between Goldust and Bray Wyatt. And when I say I want the feud, I want a serious feud with like, badass, old-school Goldust, where it's all the mind games, it's all the weirdness, it's those two just screwing with each other before actually screwing each other. But yeah, I liked this, and I liked Balor coming out and looking really unsure.
Yeah.
That was a nice subtle little touch to this, where it's like, Bray's right, you know, without the makeup is Finn Balor's power. It's up to the man to defeat Bray. He can't hide behind the demon. He's got to do it on his own. Which was, this was just all really nice. I like this.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out, yeah, we'll go with this first. So it's time for Miz TV. And it opens up with the Miz and Maryse announcing they're having a baby.
And all of us are like, okay, wait, is this legit or is this an angle?
Because he'll be a better father than Kurt Angle was.
We all went Angle.
Then Enzo comes out. He does his normal thing, and then Miz rips into him. Miz says Enzo didn't choose to go to the Cruiserweight division. Miz said Enzo had nowhere else to go because people can't stand him, and that's coming from me. Miz said Enzo should be asking himself for help, not interrupting the most cherished moment of his life. Miz said he sees so much potential in Enzo. He said Enzo falls on his face when he goes to the top rope. He said he's no longer has a 7-foot meal ticket. He says Enzo was nothing more than a con man with a couple of catchphrases.
Ouch!
Enzo said he would get real because, you know, he's the realest guy in the room. He said he and Miz had nothing in common. He accused Miz of copying Jericho and Ric Flair, get some new material. Enzo says he's original, no, get new material. While Miz is a carbon copy of other people, Enzo said Miz is a paper champion, no, he's not, and he would have no problem coming back on Raw and beating him. Miz says if Enzo was championship material, then his best friend would not have abandoned him. Enzo said he may not have a lot of friends, but all he needed to fight was the Miz on the spot. Miz said he had no idea what he was getting himself into. Miz said he's dedicating this victory to his unborn child. We thought, okay, oh God, it's going to be an angle. Enzo said he apologized to the child when it's born, but Daniel Bryan was right in saying the Miz is S-A-W-F-T. Soft. They had a match. They were trash-talking on microphones throughout the match.
Why?
Ends in the queue. Mr. Ash beat down Enzo.
I liked this back and forth exchange before the match because Miz got real. He got really real. Like, Enzo tried. Because, again, you're putting Enzo, who is a very good talker in his own right, against probably one of the best promo guys they have in that company, which is the Miz.
Yeah.
I mean, he's, and I would argue he's probably the best. Just because, again, nobody can do what The Miz can do. Like, all their top promo guys, they have something about them that it's just, like, nobody else can do what that person can do. And that's what makes them really good at it. It's like, nobody can cut that heel promo like Miz. Nobody can. It's just, he's fantastic at it. And you've got, again, you're doing the dick measuring contest between Miz and Enzo. And Miz just, like, flattens Enzo. Like, nothing. It was awesome. Love this. And we were slightly worried about Maryse.
A little bit.
Because it's like, oh god, if this is an angle and she gets hit, I'm going to scream. But she didn't. She didn't get hit. In fact, they kept her as far away from the ring and the action as they possibly could. With her still being out there, she was generally on the other side away from them. And yeah, so later everybody offered their congratulations. WWE has officially put it out that Maryse is in fact expecting. So they should have their first child here in probably the next 6 months. 6 to 8 months, depending on how pregnant she is. So congratulations to Miz and Maryse.
It's going to be a WrestleMania baby.
It's going to be a WrestleMania baby. Perfect for Total Divas.
Check out the Rack Extra Total Bells now available at RackRadioShow.com. Paul Heyman comes to the ring. Talks about the No Mercy main event for the first time since his matchup with The Undertaker. The odds are against Brock Lesnar. Heyman says Strowman is bigger and stronger than Lesnar, but he questioned whether he was bad enough to rip the title away from him. Heyman said it reminds him of Lesnar in 2002. Heyman brought up Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, Mr. ECW, Rob Van Dam, and The Undertaker. He questioned whether Strowman would monster handles Cena later in the show. He questioned if Strowman was ready to cross over from sports entertainment to Suplex City. He said, before, you know, they used to win in the Broctagon, he said, are you ready? You know, are you ready for a fight? So he questions whether Braun Strowman's ready for a fight. He says, are you ready? Braun comes out. They go toe-to-toe. Brock locks in the German suplex, and Braun gets right back up.
And that's the moment that Brock should have worn his brown pants, because the look on his face said everything. The look on Heyman's face said everything. It was literally the oh crap moment. Replace crap with an F-bomb. But it was that moment where it's Brock's one single defense, which is the German suplex. It's devastating to everybody. It's taken out everybody. He can throw it like 17 times without a problem. He throws Braun Strowman without a problem. Braun gets back up and just no-sells it. So it's like the one thing Brock has outside the F5 doesn't work, which means the F5 is not gonna work, or it shouldn't work. Like, Brock is gonna have to legit have to try to beat Braun down to keep that title, and I don't know if he can. I loved the hell out of this. It was fantastic. It was perfect. It was, hey, Brock, you remember everybody you've ever taken to task? Here's yours. Here's karma in Braun Strowman coming for you, son. Get ready.
Speaking of which, Braun Strowman took on John Cena. I need to scroll back on my Twitter. Booker T says John Cena has never been dominated like this before. There was a match between Brock Lesnar and John Cena at SummerSlam a couple of years ago. In case you, the whole definition of suplexity
came from that match.
Yep, that was the thing. Just pointing that out.
Everybody pointed that out. I mean, it's just, it's something of everybody pointed that out where it's like, are you sure about that? But I mean, Braun was, like, beating the crap out of Cena. Oh, they had a good match together.
Oh, they did. But then it got convoluted at the end. So, on the outside of the ring, Braun Strowman hits Cena with the ring steps. He brings the ring steps into the ring. Then, Strowman power slams John Cena onto the ring steps for the DQ. What? Shouldn't the first shot with the steps been the DQ?
Not according to this ref.
Logic goes hit with weapon, DQ. No, because it was on the outside of the ring, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which means, you know, he could cut up his leg off with a chainsaw on the outside, but if it was in the ring, it's a DQ. On the outside, it's fine.
Well, it's always fine on the outside. They always miss it on the outside.
But he watched him and told him to get back in the ring. Made no sense. Anyway, Braun destroyed Cena and left him laying. Perfect setup for Cena not being there next week.
This should have closed Raw. This should have closed Raw. This or the beatdown between Brock and Braun. Either way, you should have had Braun standing tall and victorious to close Monday Night Raw to further emphasize that, yes, this dude is legit, that he is our top star right now.
Yeah, but they didn't. But, you know, again, 10 o'clock is always the highest rated stream. That's why they do things this way in 2017.
I guess. I don't know.
But I'll do it for the Raw Post Show live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network tomorrow night, 11:15 p.m. Eastern. It's twitch.tv/rackradioshow for WTR Sims. Thursday night, though, we're gearing up for the Rack.
That's right. Tune in. We'll have news, notes, NXT, SmackDown, and, well, yes, we're going to have a surprise for you. In the fact that we're going to have a guest. We are super excited because Brian Shields, the author of the new Rick and Charlotte Flair book, will be joining us, and we are going to be talking to him about, well, the book and life, because it's been a long time since we've had Brian on the show.
Yes, it has. Plus, we'll have the finals of the Mae Young Classic 2 to recap. So, Thursday's going to be a loaded show. Follow, like, subscribe, Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. Search Rack Radio Show. Check out the Rack Extra Turtle Bell Season 2 Episode 1 now available by Thursday. Season 2 Episode 2 will be available. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's CB Radio Episode 501. What are we doing? Who the hell knows? It's CB Radio Saturday night's midnight-ish. Go back and listen to last week's episode, which was Episode 500, in the middle of a hurricane. CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and .com. We're back Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio. And Lindsay's going to be there. Why? We'll tell you why on Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, at WTR.
I'm being forced to be there.
At WTR Sunday night on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be back next Monday for the Raw Post at 11, 10 p.m. Eastern, at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNewark.
You can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, LANSWARD. You can go to my website, psychworddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Linsward, same as the Twitter.
Girlwork.net, wrestling figure photography. Follow her today at instagram.com/mbg1211. She's Lindsay, I'm Rock. We'll see you Thursday night with Brian Shields for the Rack. And right back here for the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Long day with the Wild Talk Radio Network. And streaming live on TuneIn Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com.
It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
WildTalkRadio.com.